Happy Thursday, everyone. Today is January 28th, 2021, and welcome to Today in Sports History, the podcast that will make you the most interesting person at the water cooler, guaranteed. Without any further ado, let's get started. In 1904, the first college sports letters are given to seniors who played on the University of Chicago's football team. The players are awarded blankets with the letter C on them. In 1940, Chicago's Les Cunningham scores 5 points in one period to set an NHL record that stood until 1978. He recorded 2 goals and 3 assists in a 10-minute, 4-second span during the third period of an 8-1 win over Montreal. In 1943, the Chicago Blackhawks beat the New York Rangers 10-1. Max Bentley scored 4 goals in the game. In 1949, the New York Giants signed their first black players, Monte Irvin and Ford Smith. In 1958, Dodgers catcher Roy Campanella is paralyzed in an automobile wreck. In 1959, the Soviet Union wins a 62-37 basketball match with the United States. It's the United States' first ever international loss. In 1960, the NFL announces the expansion of the league with 2 additional franchises, the Dallas Cowboys coming that year in 1960, and the Minnesota Vikings the following year. In 1969, Barbara Jo Rubin becomes the first woman jockey to win in North America. Also in 1969, the Buffalo Bills have the first pick in the NFL draft and select a running back from USC that goes on to be the most famous alleged murderer in American history, O.J. Simpson. Also in 1973, Henry Bocha of the Detroit Red Wings scores 6 seconds into a game. In 1976, the NBA Atlanta Hawks begin a 28-game losing streak. In 1980, New York head coach Red Holtzman wins his 600th NBA game. He's only the second coach to do so at the time, behind only the great Red Auerbach, as the Knicks beat Golden State 107-103. In 1984, Edmonton center Wayne Gretzky's NHL record point scoring streak ends at 51 games when the Oilers are beaten 4-2 by the LA Kings. Fast forwarding to 1985, Houston's Bill Finch becomes the 6th NBA coach to post 600 wins as the Rockets beat the New Jersey Nets 97-93, joining the previously mentioned Red Auerbach and Red Holtzman, as well as Gene Shue, Jack Ramsey, and Dick Motta. In 1988, Denver Nuggets point guard Michael Adams takes record streak to 79 consecutive games with at least 1 3-point field goal in a 117-102 loss against Indiana. The streak ended the next game. Also in 1988, New York Rangers' Marcel Dion scores a second-period power play goal in a 5-2 win in Philadelphia to become the first player in NHL history to get 20 goals in each of his first 17 seasons. In 1992, St. Louis right wing Brett Hull becomes the second player, after Wayne Gretzky, in NHL history to record back-to-back seasons of 50 goals in 50 games. And lastly, in 1995, the Memphis Mad Dogs are granted the CFL's 13th franchise. We'll be right back with our deep dive segment. Thanks for sticking around and welcome to our deep dive segment. For today, we'll be looking at the Football League to the North trying to invade American soil. We'll be looking at the CFL's failed attempt to expand into the United States. The Canadian Football League, the sole major professional sports league in the United States and Canada to feature only teams from Canada, has made efforts to gain further audience in the United States, most directly through expansion into the country from 1993 to 1995. The CFL plays Canadian football, a form of gridiron football, which is somewhat different from more common American football played in the United States and the world. The first American team, the Sacramento Gold Miners, joined in 1993. The league added 3 more American teams in 1994, after which 2 more teams joined, one relocated, and one folded to bring the total to 5 in 1995. In the latter year, the teams were aligned into a new South Division. The 3 years saw numerous ownership debacles on both sides of the U.S.-Canadian border. The Baltimore Stallions became the only American-based team to win a Grey Cup championship in 1995. With the exception of Baltimore, all of the American teams consistently lost money. CFL games in the United States averaged 10,000 to 15,000 in paid attendance, while the Stallions ranged from 30 to 37,000. The CFL was and remained to the present day a gate-driven league dependent on ticket sales and game day revenue for most of its income. Tensions also arose between the American and Canadian contingents over rule changes, scheduling, import rules, and even the name of the league itself. Facing these difficulties, the league returned to being an exclusively Canadian one beginning with the 1996 season. While expansion was the most notable CFL effort in the United States, the league had also made previous inroads. 11 neutral site CFL games, including exhibition games, have been held in the United States. In earlier decades, when the CFL season started much later than it does today, around the same time as the National Football League, NFL teams were occasionally invited northward for exhibition interleague play. The CFL has also attempted to find a television audience in the United States, with one notable venture coinciding with the NFL player strike in 1982, and more recently on ESPN. While the CFL's presence on U.S. television has consistently been limited to cable TV networks, its U.S. TV audience was enough to account for about 20% of the league's total North American viewership during the 2018 season. We want to thank you for joining us in this episode, and hope to have you back for many more. Don't forget to subscribe however you're listening to us, whether it be Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or one of the many streaming platforms we're on. Please don't forget to like and follow us on all social media at Sport History Pod. Again, that's at Sport History Pod. Thank you to Jason Shaw at Audionautics for the introduction music, and Laura Robin, our script editor and director. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.